You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Hey, we welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. It has been a busy one today. Dan Mullen joined us about 90 minutes ago. Right now, we're welcoming in Greg McElroy, who I believe, if I have my notes correctly, is on the call this weekend for Tennessee and Auburn. If I'm wrong about that, Greg, just shoot me dead, but I think I'm right.
You're 100% right, Paul. I'll be down on the plains. Looking forward to it. I feel like the last time I did Auburn game, they were really, really nice. The last time I did Tennessee, they were really, really nice to me. So I feel like doing both. It's all like it's the whole world is coming to a collision. Of course, with two Alabama rivals obviously being on the call, it's going to be fantastic. Can't wait to get back in the booth and be back in the SEC footprint.
Well, tell us, we get questions all the time about the Tennessee quarterback situation. You're nobody better to ask than you. What's going on there, and what should we expect Saturday night?
Expect the unexpected. If history is any indicator, right now it's kind of anybody's guess. Right now we're still kind of monitoring what's going on with Jarrett Garantano. He got a little dinged up against Arkansas. He was scrambling, rolling, kind of landed awkwardly. He was lifted from the game at that point. And then it was Maurer, and then, of course, it was Harrison the very end, the freshman. So I think we're all really interested to see whether or not it will be Jarrett Garantano. We're talking about a team that's lost, you know, four games in a row, that it really hasn't been all that competitive in the fourth quarter of any of those games. So do they look to the future? Do they think about maybe making Harrison Bailey the starter? Do they think about kind of assessing what they might have for 2021 and beyond? That's a very realistic possibility. I feel badly for Jarrett Garantano, but he really hasn't performed at the level that we've come to expect him to perform at. And he did play really well down the stretch last year, finished on a very positive note. However, the momentum that was created in 2019 just did not carry itself over. So I think we're all interested. It's probably still going to be totally determined by whether or not Jarrett Garantano is available because of injury. But if he is, it might be a difficult decision for Jeremy Pruitt as to see what the young kid might have to kind of stabilize this offense. It's had a lot of ups and downs.
And you know, obviously, you know Jeremy well. He can be a little stubborn sometimes, and he's not the kind of guy that's going to say, okay, we're just going to blow this season up, even though it looks like it's blowing up around him. What should he do? Yeah, I think it's cold day. I think we lost his transmission because it's called freezing in the industry. We'll see if we can get him back. If we can't, we'll call an audible. We're talking to a quarterback, aren't we? Let's grab a call here and see what Frank has to say. Hey Frank, go right ahead before we get Greg back.
Hi Paul, thanks for taking my call. My friend Jerry Bergstein at the body shop, we keep arguing about who's going to win the Heisman this year. What do you think about Alabama, the quarterback for Alabama? You know, I believe he's got it all locked down.
Well, Frank, I think it's a little bit early to tell. I think Mac Jones is a legitimate candidate, just like Trevor Lawrence is, Justin Fields. Obviously, Kyle Trask. I understand you're an Alabama fan, but I don't think I could make that call yet. Right now I would put him in my final group, but I'm there's too many important games remaining. I mean, you have Alabama Auburn, you have Alabama LSU, obviously Alabama Florida. So let's see how he finishes the season. While we still wait to get Greg back, if we get him back, let's take some more calls. And how about Tony in Texas? You're on the air. Hey, Tony.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Paul. Hey, I just want to expand on what Tim Brando said. I agree with him. They need to expand to 8 teams. They take the Power 5 conference champions. The last three would be filled by the best record of the other conferences, like the Sun Belt, the American, the MAC, and the Mountain West. And by doing that, you got everybody involved. Your people will watch it increase the viewership, because if they don't, they're going to be hurting, like Tim Brando said. And there's other thing they have to consider. They're going to have a hard time bringing people back into these stands. Remember, Tim said some time ago that attendance was dropping. Well,
yeah,
have learned other ways. They don't.
Tony,
have
you're right. That was the big story last year. Attendance was dropping almost everywhere. This year, we obviously have a completely different set of circumstances. I think we have Greg back. Is that correct? Okay, so let's bring Greg back. We lost his video, but we still have the audio. Greg, you were mid sentence about I think you were talking about Tennessee situation when we lost you. I'll let you finish your thought.
Well, you were asking me, Paul, basically what is going on? What should Jeremy do?
Right.
And at this point, there is not a whole lot to feel good about with what we've seen from Jarrett Garantano. There's frankly not a whole lot to feel good about when it comes to the 2020 season. So I could understand why they would look to the future and why they'd think about 2021 maybe with a little bit of priority over 2020. But also at the same time, you have an obligation, Paul, to the veteran players that are on the roster. And you have an obligation to the seniors that might be playing their last few games there at Neyland Stadium wearing the orange and white. So I think you have to go with right now the guy that still gives you the best chance to win. Because if you were to start a guy that wasn't the best option, but it might be the best option down the road, you stand the risk of potentially losing the team. So I think that's never something that's worth it. So I would imagine that Jeremy would still try to win every single game right now and not worry as much about development in real live game action.
And among his final games, he has obviously Auburn and later in the season, Florida. Speaking of Florida, we had Dan Mullen on earlier. We talked about Kyle Trask, and it's impossible to find enough adjectives to describe what he is doing. When you watch him play, and I know you've seen him a couple of times this year, what do you see, and what do you attribute his brilliance to this year? I mean, we saw good out of him last year, but I mean, this year he seems to be on another level.
Well, he is. I mean, it's almost not even comparable, and he did a lot of really nice things last year, Paul, but I think he is the best example of how confidence can completely change who you are as a player. And he was a guy last year that played well, but I think at that point everything was just flying so fast it was hard for him to really take into account what exactly it was he was doing. But this year, I mean, he got all the starter reps throughout the course of the offseason. The first time in his career he's gone into a season as the starting quarterback. Remember, he didn't even start in high school. So this is a guy that got very few reps in high school, was always in a backup situation. We got very few reps throughout the course of his college career, and then was thrust into a starting role in a really difficult spot, replacing injured Felipe Franks last year. So he finally, at the end of last year, started to feel really good about what type of player he could be. He was probably a little unsure, frankly, what type of player he was until the end of last season. And then you get an entire offseason worth of work, and he's just so confident, has a great understanding of where to go with the football. He's very accurate, and he makes great decisions. So he's been a real treat to cover the last few years, but he's really been a treat to cover this year, Paul, to watch him and to see him blossom and to see him just grow and to go from being kind of a quiet, doesn't really say a whole lot, kind of hides in the corner, didn't say much, not a real, big personality, to see where he's at now has really been refreshing. And I know he's one of the great stories in college football, kind of an afterthought, that has blossomed into a star.
Chatting with Greg McElroy, and Greg, we are at this weird point of the season where we unfortunately, as you've experienced, talk too much about what's not happening in terms of the games than the ones we are. I mean, last week was so bizarre in the SEC with only three games on. Fortunately, we're holding up a little better. As someone who broadcasts a lot of games, and I know you have to always be looking over your shoulder trying to figure out whether the game you're broadcasting is going to actually happen or not. What's this season been like for you?
Well, I knock on wood, Paul, and I don't want to get out in front of my skis, but our crew has gone a perfect 10 for 10. Like, none of our games have gotten canceled. So if history is going to repeat itself, then we'll be playing. We'll be teeing it up at 7 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday on ESPN between Tennessee and Auburn. What I would also say, too, though, I mean, what I think has been a little frustrating for people that have been really close to the situation and talking to both coaches and administrators and then people kind of at all levels of college football is everyone's a little bit frustrated by the lack of transparency that we have as it pertains to contact tracing. A lot of people are trying to figure out, well, why does this team have a lot of guys out because of contact tracing and then this team doesn't have any? Why is that? Aren't they practicing similarly? So I think hindsight being 2020, we would have kind of established uniform principles to try to identify teams that are doing contact tracing and teams that are not doing it. Maybe it's teams that are more strict versus teams that are just going by way of the testing protocols that they have three or four, or in some cases, five times a week. So I think that's been a little bit of a frustrating point for a lot of people, are just the inconsistencies as it relates to contact tracing. And, you know, I think even in the SEC, where I think everything about the SEC, everything they've done from top to bottom, from Greg Sankey on down, everyone's been remarkable and steadfast in getting the season played and giving these players an opportunity to perform and represent their schools and their states and their communities. But there is probably a little bit of frustration now with some of the inconsistencies with the contact tracing. So hopefully there's something that we can get ironed out. We can complete the season and give these guys all the chances they want to try to play and try to do so in as safe a manner as humanly possible.
Greg McElroy, we'll see him Saturday night on the call. Greg, thanks. We'll talk to you and hopefully see you next week. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah, you're the best, Paul. Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Greg McElroy joining us, and we are going to take a break. It's been a busy show with Dan Mullen and Tim Brando, Greg McElroy, Tom Crean coming up here in a few minutes. More of your phone calls as well.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, and welcome back. Busy, busy show with Dan Mullen, Tim Brando. You heard Greg there. Tom Crean, who very likely or possibly will have the number one player taken in the draft tonight. Let's check in with Terry in Tampa. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Mr. Paul. How's life treating you?
We are doing great. I hope you are.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. You know, Tim Brando is one of those guys like Gus Johnson and Al Michaels and even Tony Romo, when they're calling a game or they're analyzing a game, you got to watch it, no matter who, no matter who's playing.
Yeah, he's fantastic. That guy, no, you're right. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, he's this great interview today that you had, and he's very passionate about the game. And so in his honor, I would like to propose a college football playoff. You know, you've got the AP 25 and you've got the coaches 25. Why not? There's 41 bowl games last year. There's 130 Division I football teams. And Mr. Brando said, if you're not top four, you ain't nobody. So that means 126 teams are just playing in the, down here in Tampa, the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl, which they played last year.
Sure.
I mean, 10,000 people are going to show up for that. So why don't you do what, you know, what you said and what Mr. Brando said? Expand the playoffs, but not from 4 to 8 or whatever. Expand it to 24 and have a play-in. There's so much time between the end of the season and the bowl games. And so the argument that, oh, the student athletes are going to be distracted and they're not going to. No, you can't use that. There's 30 days between, the national championship game and the SEC championship game, for instance. So have a one right after all the conference championship games, have a play-in game with the 25th and the 24th team. And then the next week, go to 24 teams, 12 bowl games. And then you've got 6 bowl games. And then you've got whatever, 3. And then you do your national championship. But that will fill up the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl or the Poulan Weed Eater Bowl or the Hooters Bowl that really don't draw anybody. You've seen it. You've seen the empty stands. But if you put them into the 24, 12, 6, they're going to fill up. Their TV ratings are going to shoot up, and it'll be like UMBC beating Virginia 2 years ago. You know, Coastal Carolina, which is in the top 10. 4 years ago, they won the national championship for baseball.
You're right. Hey, I hate to run. I appreciate the call there. You make some good suggestions. Don't think any will be followed, but they are fun to talk about. Sonny is in Michigan, and you are on the air. Hello, Sonny.
Hello there, Paul. I got a quick question for you. What you think with the seniors being able to come back and play next year? I'm a Vol fan, and I was curious if Jerry Pruitt would even think about bringing Jarrett back just because of all the everything that's going on now. Do you think he just washed his hands of him or what?
I'd be shocked if he comes back. Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes you just have to move on.
Okay, that was the main thing with the seniors coming back now, because I know Greg was talking about playing for the seniors. Well, realistically, I just read an article saying that there's been several seniors already committed to come back next year.
Yeah, I think that's a dicey position. I mean, maybe I'll be wrong, but I think sometimes let's see how the season ends. But if Tennessee loses a few more games, I think a fresh start would definitely be the route to go. Brad is up next. Hey, Brad, you're in Georgia, and we appreciate the call.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing great.
I just want to say I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you.
And I wanted to know, do you think there's a team out there that has a chance to beat Bama this year?
I think there's one before we get to the playoffs, and then I think I think Florida certainly has to be considered. Now, I'm not making a prediction today.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't pick them, but I think Florida has played brilliantly. Their defense would concern me some. And after that, yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about Clemson, Ohio State. Those would be of concern, too. I don't think Alabama is unbeatable. I think they're right now, I think they're the best team, but by no means are they without concern of anyone else.
But you also got to think Ohio State. they play in the Big Ten. The Big Ten's defense isn't really all that this year. So
no, I would agree. But you're talking about a one-off game, and you know, with you know, a reasonable amount of time to prepare. And yeah, you know, I need to see more from Ohio State. I mean, what I've seen, I'm very impressed. Clemson, to me,
I agree.
You know, Notre Dame. I mean, I would probably favor Alabama over Notre Dame right now. I'd favor Alabama over anyone right now.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide.
Hey, appreciate it. Good thoughts. Really appreciate it very much. Let's check in with Mike, who is in Ohio. Hello, Mike.
What's up, Paul? How are you?
We are doing pretty well.
Well, I was watching the show, and I saw that guy from Tampa come on, and I just wanted to – I mean, we all know that the 2014 thing was a little – it's not going to happen, but – I think an 8-team playoff is a lot more reasonable. I think you can't take out teams like BYU or Cincinnati yet. I mean, I know it's a hot take, but I'd love to see that. You know, I mean, why not do it this year out of all the years?
Well, Mike, I think the issue this year is concern about getting the playoffs in. First of all, now I frankly thought last summer they should have made that decision. Once they decided on the season, this would have been the perfect year to add another couple of games. Right now, you can't go in there and change it. And I would not even recommend it right now because I think there's too much pressure with COVID, with contact tracing, that if you add more games, you potentially are going to infringe upon getting to the end of the season, which is the most important thing. But I think what Brando is really saying is it's about viability and credibility. And he believes, he said this now for a couple of years, that you already know Clemson's going to be in there. You pretty much know Alabama will be in there, Ohio State. And if you look at the playoffs the last 5 years, Oklahoma's been in there a couple of times. They won't be this year. Ohio State's been in there 3 times. Clemson and Alabama have been in there almost every year. Clemson's been there every year but one, and Alabama has been in there every year but last year. So I will also counter that argument that I haven't seen anyone left out that really deserved to be in. So I think you have to look at it both ways. And every year we sit there on Selection Sunday and go, and we almost have to manufacture a debate. You know, is it Alabama? Is it Georgia or Clemson? Excuse me, Georgia or Oklahoma? Is it Ohio State? Very few debates have really had much merit. This year, there may be a little bit more of a debate because you very well could see two leagues vying for multiple teams. But as much as I respect Luke Fickle and Cincinnati and BYU's done a phenomenal job, right now I would still take a one loss Alabama or a one-loss Clemson or a one-loss Notre Dame over any of the undefeated. We're up against a break. Appreciate the calls. And we are coming right back with Tom Crean, the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs. His school about to make some history tonight.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, we welcome all of you back here. Been a big day, and we continue our build-up to basketball. And just a week away from the season and just 2 hours away from the draft. And we're delighted to welcome Tom Crean from Georgia. Coach, it's good to see you again. It's been a while with all the craziness. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Just coming out of practice. So still got my whistle going, but I'm good.
Well, don't blow it at me. I know you've been asked a million times today, and you'll be asked a million times more. You'll have a busy night with Anthony Edwards projected number one. I know you've had, obviously, big-time players taken very high in the top couple in the past at your previous stops at Indiana, and obviously with Dwayne Wade at Marquette. But how special is this night going to be for you, your program, and obviously for him?
Well, I think it's going to be incredibly special for him, because I know how hard he's worked. I know the time and effort that he's put into it. I know what he's putting into it now. I think it's incredibly special for Georgia. The last time, Dominique Wilkins, 38 years ago, was the third pick in the draft. And so, obviously, Anthony's projected anywhere from first, second, third. And anything in that area would be great. If he's number one, that would be an extremely huge thing for everybody. But at the end of the day, no matter where he goes in the side of this early part of the draft, no matter who picks him, he's earned it. He's in the midst of earning it. He works extremely hard. Like I said, he's very, very dedicated to getting better and very young, right? He's 19 years of age, and he's going to spend his entire rookie season at the age of 19. So we're excited for him and can't wait to see how it turns out here in a little while.
Coach, obviously, you get a player like this. These are not easy to find. But I'm sure you knew that it would likely be a short stay. I know there's frustration there. I know how proud you are too, but kind of take us through the emotions of signing someone that great, but also knowing that he's already gone and about to experience things that obviously every young player wants to go through.
Well, I think ultimately that's what it is. And you do know that when you sign him, that it is going to be short. But you want the relationship to be good enough that it lasts forever, right? That it lasts a lifetime. And so when you get somebody like that, you know you're speeding up the process. But at the same time, you've got to remember that he's 18. You've got to remember that he should have been a senior in high school. And you've got to try to keep it in perspective. But you don't coach a lot with perspective. And you really don't coach with a lot of patience. You coach with a drive and a determination, because you want them to have everything that they can have while they're with you, so that they have something to take with them in the sense of being ready to be a professional, being ready to understand the level of work that's going to go into this, being able to go day after day in practices and how hard you have to go and how you have to bounce back from losses. You have to be able to regroup from wins. That, like, every day matters, and you just try to get that across. So it would have been a lot harder if I hadn't been through it with other players, if that was the first time, but it wasn't. So you just get a little bit smarter in how to deal with it, and at the end of the day, you're just proud that you were with him for that year, and you want to have that friendship and relationship with him and be his coach for the rest of his life.
Clearly tonight, every young high school player in America will be watching, and I know the answer to this, but discuss the importance of the connection between Anthony and obviously your program. He's gone, but I would think tonight is a very important night for your program looking ahead.
I don't think there's any question, because again, in all likelihood, it's never been done at Georgia. And if he goes third, it hasn't been done in 38 years. So those are big, big moments for a program that doesn't have, you know, we have outstanding sports tradition here. I mean, there's no question about that. But it's not like we have this incredible basketball tradition. So like when you're trying to build forth and build on to what others have done before, you've got to have moments, right? You've got to have things that help you establish what you want your program to be. And I think this is an example. This is a great thing for every player that's played at Georgia, because obviously there have been other pros. And it's for every player that's played in the past, like, you can come to Georgia and these kind of things can happen. You can come to Georgia, you can, in his case, stay close to home, and you can get your dreams achieved. And I think that's what's really, really important for us. But to me, my greatest hope, Paul, is that he goes somewhere where that the head coach and the assistant coaches are willing to invest the time into him, that he goes to an organization that's got a structure, that's got a commitment. You know, the word culture can be so overused and undertaught, and it really comes down to the level of structure that's in place, to the level of commitment that those people have to that, and what their communication is like. And that's going to be incredibly important for him. And the icing on the top would be him being somewhere where there are veterans that can help him at the age of 19. And then as he gets to be 20 and 21, learn what it means to absolutely be a professional and not just be a pro and not just have a contract and not just get paid the first and the 15th of the month, but really understand the next step of what it takes to be a professional. Because I've said this to every team that we've talked to. I've said it in other media situations. We just scratched the surface with him. I mean, we really did. We didn't have him that long, and there's so much upside in him. And we just literally, we just tapped into it. We didn't, it would have been great to have him longer. We knew we weren't. But when you get done with him in a year, you realize there is so much more that he has in front of him. And now it's just so important that whoever gets him is willing to pull that out and not just some business relationship, see you at practice, you know, expect this out of him. Like, this is a young guy that's a lot more relational than people realize. And him building those relationships and having that inside of his, in the coaching staff and the team, is going to be incredibly important. Because, Paul, he's one of the best teammates. I've been a head coach now for 21 years. He's one of the best teammates I've ever been a part of, no matter what age. I'd put him up there with all the best that I've had the privilege of coaching, because he really, really cares about his teammates. He wants to see them be successful. He enjoys being a teammate. And I hope that really happens as he goes to the next level.
Coach, before you go, because I know you just got off of practice, how do you feel about this year's team? The season is upon us, a season unlike any other we've ever had. How do you feel? Sure.
Well, I think we're going to be different in the sense that we've got three seniors. They're all grad transfers, Justin Kyer, Andrew Garcia, and PJ Horn. They're going to have to play huge roles for us. We have eight new players. So anytime you have that, there's no sense of normalcy anyways this season, but there's not a sense of normalcy when you have that many new guys. What we've got to be is we've got to have it collectively. Like I've told them, some of our best teams, they might've had stars in the past, but we had balance in the scoring, and it wasn't just one or two guys dominated everything. And we're not going to have that kind of team. We've got to have a team that on any given night, four or five different guys are in double figure scoring. We were able to play numerous guys. We were able to really push the ball, be out on the break, bring pressure to the game defensively. You know, we're not a team that's just going to come and just out-execute you on a nightly basis because of our experience and because this guy or that guy can go get 20, 25 on any given night. The execution is going to have to come from the ball movement, from people moving, from bringing fatigue to the game, from having a consistency of toughness, which hopefully will in turn give us a consistency of our depth. And that's how we're going to have to play. And I'm looking forward to it. And it's been good thus far. You know, there's a lot of room for us to get better, obviously, like every other team would have. But I've been really happy. I love coaching these guys because I know they want to get better.
Coach, thanks for stopping by. I know it's going to be an exciting night for you and everyone related to your program. We hope to see you soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Paul. Thank you.
You got it. Coach Tom Crean, the University of Georgia, and all eyes will be on Edwards tonight as we get ready for the draft. It's 2 hours away on ESPN, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back here on late Wednesday afternoon, and Jimmy is up next in Chicago. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, it was good to hear your interview with Tim. I've got to say, I do agree with him as far as the expanding the playoff goes. I mean, this year has just been so different. Everything has been thrown out the window as far as protocol and all that. You've had teams schedule games on the fly, and it made sense because if you had opponents that couldn't play that week and you needed to get a 10-game schedule together, they just applied common sense. And I think we've really reached that point with the playoff, even though, again, the contract calls for 3-4 more years. We might as well get it out of the way and go to 8 teams. because that would immediately allow every conference champion to get in. That would eliminate 90% of the whining.
But, Jimmy, let me just say this. College football doesn't do anything unless they have a gun at their head. You know that. We all know that. And I don't see it changing immediately. I mean, yeah, they may open the door a little bit earlier at the end of the deal than previously, but this is not a collegial bunch when it comes to change.
No, that's very true. But you can remember Bill Hancock, though, up until the very day that they announced they were going to the playoff. Oh, we're perfectly happy with the way the game is right now. Everything's just going great. And Bill's going to go with whatever is decided.
Yeah, and we and again, the company I work for is going to be a big player in here because, you know, they're the ones paying the bills. So if they make an offer, and I can assure you I have no earthly idea what they do at my company's headquarters when it comes to college football playoff expansion. They've always said they're not involved, but you know if they could come to some agreement, then yeah, the door will open. But I don't think it will happen immediately, though. I think they may say, okay, we're 2-3 years away from the end of this deal, and we may open it a year early. But the odds of it happening next year, in spite of the financial bath, I still think are fairly small.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I was about to talk about the financial situation. We've never had anything like this where your average power conference athletic department is going to lose between $50 and $80 million. And how do you make that up? And this is obviously.
Well, Jimmy, remember one thing, and I know you're. Everyone's losing a lot of money. Even the people that are going to be paying the money are still. I mean, this is not. Nobody's immune from what's going on here right now. And it puts pressure on the entire industry. And I keep saying, Brando was right. This season could have been worse in terms of the finances, but we haven't gotten to the spring yet. And, you know, the basketball season has not been factored in. And there. I realize that most places basketball does not pay the bills, but there are a few places where basketball is very profitable.
No doubt about it. But I have to say to Tim, I'm sorry, Tim, but I can't do anything for the Big 12 this year when you go 0-3 against the Sun Belt.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Week, you know,
Oklahoma, Oklahoma will get a good bowl game, but they're not coming to the big party.
Yeah, and Oklahoma lost to two of those teams that lost to the Sun Belt in the opening week. So, no luck there. But I did want to mention one thing here in regard to Alabama. The way their schedule lines up right now is that we know that they'll be playing on the road at Arkansas on December 5th. But if we reach the point there,
I think that. By the way, I think that game's going to. I think that game's going to move to the 12th.
It has to, because everybody would be going crazy if you had a situation
You're not going to have the LSU game. The LSU game will be played.
Oh, no question. And secondly, there's no way on earth you were going to have two teams in the championship game, one of them playing in Baton Rouge on December 12th and the other having a bye week. No. That Arkansas game is going to be moved to the 12th. And then since they don't have any way to play LSU, I can't help but think that, you know, Alabama, before it was announced they were going to an all-SEC schedule, they were negotiating with BYU. Wouldn't that be an interesting game to fit in on December 5th?
Well, but my point being, Jimmy, I think Alabama is going to play LSU on the 5th. And then Arkansas moves to the – I think that's the easiest way to do it. I can't remember who I don't remember who LSU has on that day, but I bet it gets moved. Let's get to Cat Daddy. You're on the air. Okay, Cat Daddy.
Looking good, sounding good, Mr. Feinbaum. Mr. Tanner was on the local radio here today. He mentioned Shane Beamer and that Philip Novell boy. There's also been a lot of talk about the Coastal Carolina coach. I don't think that's going to happen.
Chadwell, yeah.
He made a very vile attempt at dismissing Hugh Freeze by saying he wasn't interested in looking at any coach who may have had some type of violations with the NCAA or the SEC.
Yeah, that would be pretty pointed at Hugh Freeze.
That's exactly what I was saying. But a lot of folks around here, they like that Novell boy, and they like the idea of Beamer, but he did say he wanted to keep a Southern atmosphere and culture in the team down here. So I have to think
Cat Daddy, how about hiring hiring a winner and not trying to make sure the coach has a good accent?
Well, that was my fault too, Mr. Bob. That was my fault too. But he said he was really excited about the hiring process. But I do think that the president, the commandant.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.